Wow, what a blessing.
It's like a dream here. It was sitting up, it's the first song of Aqualung, sitting on a park bench. at Piedmont Park about 8 years ago, by myself, I wanted to see some things about moving God's word that I'd seen certainly in New Jersey for a long time. And we ventured out to Idaho with five people at one time to move the word there, and with fantastic results. And then within the state of New Jersey, we sent Jeff and Michelle were two of them, right? Or was Michelle part of that?
She came the second year.
Yeah, she came the second year. But we sent a few people down there to move the word, and I think that, how many did you start with?
Five.
Five, and there's over 50 there now. And I thought, well, I'd love to someday move God's word in other places. And I feel so spoiled because there's so many, and I really do, there's so many wonderful believers that I have the privilege of being a part of their lives and them mine, certainly. And that I almost feel selfish because really the mystery lives and people get along. It's not a religion. It's not, this is my deal and everybody else sucks. And well, we laugh, but that's what happens all over the country. And so I wanted to see what God had in mind about the possibility of moving somewhere else. And I didn't tell anybody where I was going. I don't even know if I told Diane where I was going. I just went to Atlanta by myself. I didn't call anybody. I didn't call Rick. I didn't call Robin. I didn't call anybody. And I sat on a bench at a park, Piedmont Park, and just prayed, spoke in tongues all day long, and then went there again the next day and did the same thing. And then several people who had seen me the day before basically asked me what I was doing there, and I got to witness to them. So they basically asked me to witness to them. And I sat there and I thought, you know, I think this is good. Of course, I had a history here. I was here on my interim year, and then I was here for 3 years as the state coordinator. So I was familiar with the state. I love Georgia. I love Atlanta. And I thought, yep, this is good. And then I thought, it was like with a view towards, this is good. And then, honestly, and I'm not kidding, because I've shared this with other people long before this advance happened, but it was with a further view of Alabama. And this is specific, I'm telling you. Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee. And all are represented here. So when I say it's like a dream, it is. And I think it's with a further view, that's my prayer anyway, that these types of things can happen more often. Because God desired believers to be together. He didn't desire, you know, the Hatfields and the McCoys and the Schmitz and the Mendozas and, of course, the Alaferis and the... But that isn't what I want to share. I'm just trying to get it together. You know, Patrick's teaching and Michelle's teaching. God, you know, these are people that I've had the privilege of being with and living with Michelle for I don't know how long. And seeing the growth in Stephanie. And I've lived with over 80 people, so most of you I've lived with here. So, thank you. And those that you haven't, you've got a lot to look forward to. Right. But what I want to share on today is a little bit about God's grace and God's power. You know, there's been times that I'm sure we've all asked ourselves, what makes us any different than any other Christian group or organization or religion or whatever? And, you know, you'd think, well, the love, you know, the love. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Because I've sure seen a lot more Christians, you know, out there that are very loving. They are, and they're kind. They're a lot kinder probably than me. They're loving. They are. So I don't think it's that other Christians don't love. I believe that they do love. And then, you know, we're concerned, all of us here, about rightly dividing God's word, getting it right to the best of our ability to study, show ourselves approved unto God. You know all that. And I thought, well, you know what? There are other Christians that are very interested in that as well. Aren't there? So I thought further, well, one thing I don't hear much about in churches and other religions and Christians and stuff, number one, the mystery. I never have heard that taught anywhere in the Christian field. And number two, the manifestations of the Spirit. Albeit there are religions who, Christians that speak in tongues, there's Christians that minister healing, there's Christians that prophesy, and there's Christians that do this, but most of them think it is a gift, that those manifestations are a gift. And most, if not all, think that maybe they could get one or two of those things. But our God, one of them shared it today, Michelle shared it about God looking and stuff. In 2 Chronicles, if you want to go there, you know, this is a relaxing time. This is really, just take it easy. Just settle down and be excited. 2 Chronicles 16. If you want to go there, go there. If not, I won't. I'll read it to the best of my ability as it is written in the scriptures. Verse 9. Just as a nice, easy verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Well, God's eyes are running to and fro looking to bless. I think God spends more time looking to bless than actually blessing because there are so few people looking. We need to look. Look up. One great way that God shows himself strong on our behalf is by his undying grace. I'm not going to have you go to these scriptures. I'm just going to read them for time's sake. But you can look from, you can go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and I notice some of you, that's about as far as you get. Nowhere in the Word of God, in any of those chapters or books of the Bible, do the books of the Bible outside of the church epistles open with grace. Now, the prophecy of the scripture came not in olden time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? And all scripture is given by inspiration of who? And it's profitable, and you know all the rest. So God's word is God's will. That's the greatest secret. We know that, right? And nowhere outside of the church epistles do these scriptures open with grace. In Romans 1, verse 7, it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:3 says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Number Galatians says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 1:2 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 1:2 says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And Colossians 1:2 says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, a little break here. Take a little break. What does grace mean? You all know pretty much, but it's a kind, affectionate, pleasing nature. It's a kind, affectionate, pleasing nature. You know what I noticed since I've been here? Even before the first teaching, watching you gather people who haven't seen each other in a long time, or maybe never, I saw that grace being manifested, that kind, affectionate, and pleasing nature. It's an inclining disposition. It means a friendly willingness. And of course, we know it means favor. God's undeserved divine favor. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:1, it says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians 1:2 says, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And then you could go to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, you can go to Titus, you can go to Philemon. And in French, the word Philemon is pronounced Philemon. And and then the very last scripture in the entire book of the Bible, entire Bible, which is, as churches refer to it as Revelations, it's in, actually, Caitlin wrote Revelations. That's interesting. Anyway. It says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." That's the final verse. That's the end of the story. That's the end of the book. That's the end of the Bible. That's it. That's all. So every believer has had this grace extended toward them, which includes you and me, from God. We have his friendly willingness, his inclining disposition. He's just, and we have his undeserved divine favor, certainly. Go to Ephesians. That's always a good place to go. Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, for those of you who are waiting for the end of the story, Patrick and JM got rescued. They made it. I'm like, this is a great story, Patrick, but what? I'm riddled with fear. And we decide, okay, God, what happened? That comes up in his next teaching. In chapter 4, verse 29, it says, and somebody shared this earlier, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may," what?
"Minister grace."
Whoa. "That it may minister grace unto the hearers." That God has allowed us, you and me as believers, the blessing to be able to be ministers of God's grace. Like I mentioned, you guys were like that last night. There was just a gathering and you were just that way. You were ministering grace to each other. And that, my friends, this room is too short, you notice that. You can't even see the scripture, but it says power here. Power. That's a great way to manifest God's power. Bet you never thought of that. Ministering grace. Boy, a lot goes with that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's seven characteristics of a faithful minister. And the first characteristic is right in verse 1, which makes it kind of simple. "Thou therefore, my son, Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Ministers are people who wait on other people, people who serve other people, are to be strong in this wonderful grace of God in their own lives. We live in an administration of grace. We live in the administration of the mystery, where for the very first time in the history of mankind, starting at the day of Pentecost, men were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They got born again of God's Spirit. It was and still is because of God's grace that anybody ever gets born again, that God will fill all those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that doesn't change after you get born again. How's your hunger doing with the Word? That's a good question to ask yourself without condemning yourself. Am I hungry to understand my Father so that I can have and maintain a great relationship with God? That view, with the further view of being able to share that with others. So many people are interested in knowing the Scriptures, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what for? Is it to enhance our fellowship with God? Is it to enhance our walk with God? Is it to enhance our walk with others? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You all know these. Whenever I get a teaching together, I go back to my Power for Abundant Living extended syllabus, and they're all in there, all 900 of my teachings. Verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you what? Through believing. And it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I don't have a right to brag about anything, even as a believer. What am I going to brag about? I haven't made a snowflake yet. First Corinthians 12. I guess that's funny because of the terminology being thrown around in the political arenas. If any of you want to know who to vote for, what to do, you come talk to me. Chapter 12, verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit," and here is the different manifestations listed, "is given to given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by his the spirit of word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills, as he the man wills." And this is where so many people in the world, in churches and in different denominations, really screw this up. Because they may believe in one of these, but they think it's a gift. They don't read the word manifestation. The manifestations are the manifestation of the gift of Holy Spirit that we have. And 9 different ones. Tongues of interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. That's all there are. And we ought to enjoy every single one of them. Each and every one of us ought to accept what God has made available by his word and promises to us so that we can manifest all 9 of these wonderful manifestations. All 9, all the time. One of them is speaking in tongues. And it can only be because of God's love. And it can only be because of God's grace that he would entrust you and I, every single believer, from the youngest to the eldest, to have these manifestations latent within, ready to come out. Why? To profit the church in every way, which way. And there's nothing missing. If you look about life and you look at problems, you look at situations and everything, there's nothing that the Word of God and the manifestations do not cover perfectly. Rise up. Get up. Where did I say? How are we going? Well, you should know. If you're operating manifestations right now. See, we got a long way to go. Acts chapter 2. Speaking in tongues. First time this happened, of course, was on the day of Pentecost. And for once, all the apostles listened. You ever think about that? They never listened. They always questioned. Blah, 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 blah. Well, they were there. And in verse 1, it says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. One accord in one place. And suddenly there came from a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each one. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? So they spoke in tongues. Go to Acts 19. Acts 19. Acts 19 and in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, Holy Ghost? I didn't even hear this. What a Holy Ghost? I don't know nothing about no Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, John's. And Paul didn't say, oh, you stupid idiots. No, he didn't. He didn't nail them about that. He said, yeah, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That's on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, and whatever it was that he taught them there, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke in tongues and they what? Prophesied. They prophesied. They manifested God's Spirit, which is a wonderful thing. 1 Corinthians 14. We could go to all five different usage in the Acts, but we're not going to. 1 Corinthians 14 kind of cuts to the quick. 14:5, it says, this is revelation. God wanted this written down. You understand this? God wanted this written down. So it's written, Corinthians is written to the saints. You could go there and look. It's to the saints. Me and you. That's you and me. You and me. Me and you. Verse 5 says, I would that you all spake with tongues. Well, what do you need? A concordance to look this up? To see if it's true? Do you need someone's permission? Do you need the authority of the church to tell you it's okay? Paul said, I would. Jesus said, you should. Speaking in tongues is very, very, that's right. I would that you all spake with tongues, and I'd rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, and that the church may receive edifying. Speaking in tongues in your own private life is just as great as prophecy or interpretation. But in the church gets edified. The church gets blessed so much by hearing words of edification, exhortation, and comfort from our Heavenly Father. And this, again, is written to the saints, to all the believers. Fantastic. All that are sanctified, it says in 1 Corinthians 1, 2. So it's God's will for all believers. It's God's will that all believers speak in tongues. All right. I'm not going to ask that question. All right. It's your turn, ladies and gentlemen. One try, you should have died. Bye. Get down, get funky like a bald head monkey. Here comes the questions. I'm going to ask you. Everybody's always asking me questions. I'm asking you some questions now, and I expect some right answers. Now, who could tell me, by show of hands, who could tell me one benefit of speaking in tongues? One benefit. Yes.
Builds up your spirit.
That's right. Edifies your spirit. All right. Stephanie. Speak it, girl. Say it out loud.
Give thanks.
That's better. Yes, Cece.
Rest to your soul.
Hallelujah. We need that. The older you get, the more you like that benefit. I don't see. Tony.
Perfect prayer.
Becky.
Magnify God.
I ain't calling you, Josh. Phoebe.
Speaking the wonderful works of God.
Wonderful works of God. Who's back there? Is that Ryan?
It's Ryan.
You're gonna get it wrong, I know already.
Intercession for the
saints. No, that's a great one. That's a great one. So you see, there's a lot of benefits to speaking in tongues. I say, what's the downside? There's no downside. So good. So speaking in tongues is one of the manifestations, all right? We got that one? And to interpret and to prophesy in a fellowship such as this, or anywhere else, there's three gathered, is to edify us, to build us up. And certainly it sure has built us up. It has edified us to hear from God. And it's comforted us, and it's exhorted us to a more worthy endeavor. How wonderful these manifestations are. It's always a blessing to speak in tongues in our private prayer life. And it's always a blessing to hear from God by way of tongues of interpretation and prophecy in a fellowship like this, in a fellowship maybe that's at your home, a fellowship at Denny's parking lot, parks, wherever you are and you got three or more gathered, it's always a good idea to do this. Why? Because God has something to say to you. Listen, pay close attention. That's not in the scripture, but it's a good song. All we have to do is be born again and have a desire to manifest, and we can't. You know, I look at Timothy, and once again, I see how the early church gradually lost the greatness of the mystery, which was horrible. Paul entrusted Timothy with the scrolls of the epistles which contained the mystery. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. And in verse 20 of 1 Timothy 6, it says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed unto thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. This could read, O Timothy, guard the deposit that is committed to thy trust. And you know, you look at those words in there, man. And 2 Timothy was the fall of the church and the great mystery. Paul entrusted Timothy with this mystery and the scrolls. Look at chapter 1, verse 14 of 2 Timothy. It says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in you. The good thing here is referring to the great mystery, Jews and Gentiles, fellow heirs and of the same body. Same body, one body. It's not the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. Well, that's what I was talking about earlier. We're all part of it. We ought to enjoy each other, and we ought to enjoy the Word of God together. That's God's will. He wants us to do that. And it doesn't matter who the leader dude is or whatever. It's the Word. And the way we keep the mystery alive is by keeping the Scriptures accurate, rightly dividing God's Word, and by the operation of the manifestations. And I'll tell you, it takes the operation of the manifestations to keep the mystery alive. It takes having to take a stand once in a while against shenanigans and things that are not correct. You have to learn to speak up, not on behalf of yourself, but the Word of God to protect the mystery which was entrusted to me, I'm sure. Imagine if somebody gave you a new car and you didn't know how to drive it. There's so many people who have salvation. They're born again. They have the privilege of living the mystery, but they don't know how. We ought to teach them by our examples, first and foremost. By our examples. Think of all the different things God gave us. And the way you keep the mystery alive is believing. Believing the rightly divided word
and believing who you are and what you have in Christ and operating the manifestation of the Spirit. To think again of God's wonderful grace is just incredible to me, that he's made such a great thing available to me and to you. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ is sending out the apostles, I think it is here. And boy, oh boy, look at what he tells them. Look at what he tells them. He tells them, well, when he had called his 12, oh, it's his disciples. He called on his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits. You know what an unclean spirit is? A dirty one. That's right. Power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Most believers, you know, they know that they're, you know, they know their spirits, but to see one, they would never know it because they don't believe. They don't trust that the word will show. Man, they're out there. God wants us to know what's going on. And give them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils freely. You receive freely what?
Give.
I think it was Patrick that shared that John verse, or was it Michelle? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. Jesus Christ said that. One of the works that he did was he cast out spirits, which means he had to recognize that there was such a thing. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He cast out devils. He loved the unlovable. He gave his life as a service, as a witness, which God's word says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also where? We have the ability to put on the mind of Christ by knowing what the Word of God says and believing it. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be overly educated. You don't have to take 10 Greek classes and this and that. All you need to do is know what's available, how to receive it, and do it. That's what you got to do. If you want a great fellowship is not a fellowship of 30 knuckleheads in a meeting and you read the book of Ephesians. A great fellowship is when the love of God is present, the grace of God is present, God's word is rightly divided, and all nine manifestations are manifested by every single person. That is a phenomenal fellowship. That is a great fellowship. And that's something as fellowship coordinators we strive for. We want that. We want people to know that they can manifest God's power so that they're not riddled with fear. Fear has just ruined people. Afraid of what people think? Good God, I want you to like me, but if you don't, no sweat off my bones, because I got God in Christ in me, and I'm not going to try to be somebody I'm not. I'm going to try to, you know, improve my manners and stuff, but, you know, all this stuff. The works of the flesh has ruined the church and has built tremendous condemnation. It's never good enough. Well, I got Christ in me. That's good enough. And I don't have to do anything. The only thing I have to do that I know that I have to do is go to heaven. Because when that trumpet sounds, I'm gone. Even if I'm not in a good mood, I don't want to go. Not now, Lord, I'm eating. No, I'm gone. I want to do the word of God. I want to do his will. I want to be my best for God. And I am not going to be riddled with condemnation. Ah, gee, I ain't got time. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. I can't tell you how this verse has blessed me through the years. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, praise God, but the spirit which is of God. Why? The word that is such a blessing to know that. The word that means the purpose, the reason. The reason we have the Spirit of God is that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Man, the reason we got Spirit is God wants us to know what we've been given. We don't have the Spirit so we can condemn ourselves and think about all the things we're not. God gave us the Spirit so we can know that we're righteous, that we're redeemed, that we're sanctified, that we're complete, that we're justified, that we're reconciled, and go on and on. He wants us to know the things that have been freely given to us. Man, which things also we speak. So not only has he given us these things and he wants us to recognize these things because we have the Spirit, he wants us to speak these things to one another, to the world. Golly, Pete, have you ever witnessed to anyone in your life? Some people haven't. Whenever I know I'm going on a quote-unquote witnessing night, which is rarely because I like to witness wherever I go anyway, so I don't need a night, I think about, what are we offering? Power, love, peace, you know, all these great things. So anytime someone doesn't accept this, I am blown away. Why wouldn't you want this? I'm not asking you to join, nothing. I don't even care if you go to my rotten fellowship. Well, it's not run. I'm sorry, honey. It's a great fellowship. Probably the best one in the entire world. You know, but you do it because you know that. Even so, these things we speak, not in words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And the reason people don't accept it is the next verse, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're what?
Spiritually
discerned. Yeah. God wants us to know the things that are freely given to us. You know, how did they operate in the first century church? What did they do? Acts 3, chapter 3. Many of us, if not all of us, know this record of the man that was blind. No, that was John 9. This is the man who was lame from his mother's womb. Peter and John went up together in the temple in the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the gate and the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, I don't know why he needed legs, but Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." That's Revelation. That's Revelation. And this lame man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And if you ever want to get anything from God, you got to expect that God's going to do it. Then Peter said, and this is his patented lame man ministering line, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping, praising. Look, in order for that to be accomplished, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings, you know, that's what it took. These guys operated that kind of power all the time. We do too. If we believe, we do too. Why not? Why not? What did Peter have? He said, "Silver and gold have I what? Such as I have." What did he have? He had Holy Spirit. That's it. What do you have?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Is it any different with Peter than it is with Grant? Is it any different with Peter than it is a Michael Liu? There's nobody better than Grant or Michael Liu or you. Nobody. We just need to accept what God's given to us. Look at the results of this. The man walked. He got up. He leaped. And guess what? You know, I don't have time to go into it, I know, but boy, you read the book of Acts and you see where these signs, miracles, and wonders are done. Outreach. People got into the word. There's a saying that has gotten squelched over the last 20 years that I would like to reinstitute. I've been instituting it, but if you haven't heard it lately, believing inspires believing in others. Oh, you shared an experience at your fellowship. Have you ever read the Bible? All that is experiences of people who have stood on God's word. Are you any less than somebody who stood on God's word? No. So if I minister to somebody and they get healed, I'm going to tell somebody, "Hey, man, Johnny got healed." Why not? And that might make somebody think, well, if Johnny got healed, I can get healed. And if Johnny got healed and you pray for him, maybe I could pray for somebody and they get healed. Well, you can and you should. And why not? Where do you want to go? What do you want to go to? I want to go a lot of places. Acts 5. Verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. Insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on their beds and the couches, so at the least the shadow of Peter passing by. Is there any power in a shadow of Peter? But there's a lot of power in believing some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and with them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Man, oh man. And you can go on and read the scriptures. They're all through the book of Acts. They're all through the Gospels. The works of Jesus Christ are evident everywhere. For instance, the boat incident. Who read that? Patrick? Both of us. Both of you. Here's an experience. Me and my wife were in someplace in the Caribbean, and we were taking a ferry boat from one island to another island. And my wife, Joyce, was pregnant with one of my kids. I think it was Jossie or I don't know, one of them. And all of a sudden, there was a tempestuous wind, and our boat turned over. The people on top of the boat flew into the ocean. And there were people just going, you know, there was cuts and bleeding, all kinds of stuff, you know, going on. And the boat finally came back to where it's supposed to be, and the people, they're gathering people out of the ocean. And I stood up as people were rushing and yelling and screaming for their life savers. Life preserve, whatever, preservers. What are they called? Preservers. Sorry, don't laugh at me. And I stood up and I prayed that God would get rid of the spirit of fear and that the ocean would be clear as glass. No one listened. I said, I'm going to pray now. And as soon as I prayed, the ocean was stilled like glass. And everyone was rescued, no problem. So, you know, I'm not Jesus, but I have Christ where? And so do you. So do you. We need to absolutely accept God at his word. Take God at his word. Don't ever expect God's word to agree with your senses. Our sense knowledge is that. Sense knowledge. You know, word of knowledge is... is contrary to our five senses. Word of wisdom and what to do in a situation once God's told you what the situation is so often contrary to our senses. Got a person in fellow laborers who had horrible allergies and couldn't stop sneezing, couldn't stop sneezing, couldn't stop sneezing in the middle of a teaching. So I said, stand on your head. She stood on her head and she got healed. Now don't ask me, don't do that. Ever, unless God would inspire you to do it. But dang it, God's ability is his willingness and all that. And his desire is the same as it's always been. His desire to help us has never changed. It says in the book of Malachi, in New Jersey, the Italians call it the book of Malachi. But it says, I am the Lord, I change what? God hasn't changed. And there's an old blues song called God Don't Never Change. You got to hear it someday. But we entirely talk too much about negatives. We talk about things, junk, and stuff that really is not, has no redemptive value whatsoever. The reason I have the friends I have is because of the word that we share with each other. And it could be at a bar, it could be at a restaurant, it could be at someone's house, and it could be until 3 a.m. We talk the word. How can we move it? What can we do? What can we do better? you know, great minds talk about the word, average minds talk about things, stuff, and junk, and lousy minds talk about people. How can we move the word? That's my life. I signed off on that a long time ago. It's yours too, or you wouldn't be here. But we talk too much about junk. You know, the word says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, or so is he. We talk about, and it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We talk, whatever we're talking about indicates somewhat what we're thinking about. Acts 9, don't go there. I'll just share the record to the best of my ability. There's Ananias, who was a certain disciple, remember? Certain disciple. Wasn't an apostle necessary, wasn't a prophet, didn't even have maybe a gift ministry or anything. The Lord talked to him, said, go talk to this Saul. And Ananias said, well, I love you, Lord, but do you know who he is? You know, he's a pretty bad dude. And the Lord said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. So this Ananias, a certain disciple, went and first thing he said to him was, brother Saul. Saul got healed, ended up becoming the great apostle Paul, who was the one who received the mystery, which was kept secret from before the foundations of the world, because one man listened and manifested an incredible amount of power. Had he not done that, who knows what would have happened? In Acts 8, you got the record of after Stephen's death, many of the believers, they moved out of Jerusalem. Some went to Samaria. Philip went to Samaria. Philip, who was really good compadre with Stephen, who was stoned to death, and he preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ unto them. And he manifested great power. Great healings were happening. And these people had to move out of their homes. They weren't any different than you and me. They weren't any different. They had to move. Otherwise, they were going to get killed, or they were going to get slaughtered, or they were going to get thrown into jail. They moved to this half-Jew place, Samaria, which was, I imagine, below them. And boy, they spoke the word. They moved the word. And you know what it says? There was great joy in the city. It doesn't matter how fancy-pantsy you live, or the neighborhood is so beautiful, it's gated and protected by everyone. You know what, man? You know what makes a great house? Whoever lives in it. What, no one makes a lousy house? Whoever lives in it. How's your house? A little hesitation. You know? Philip, then after that, he got up and went somewhere else to help a eunuch. I mean, when's the last time God told you to help a eunuch? But there was always a prophet, always a prophet to what God said. And when people believed it, there was always a prophet. And you know the other thing in these things? People were obedient. They followed what the word said. If we're not accustomed to being obedient, just in life, you know, you got to serve somebody. You ever hear that song? It's really true. You're always serving somebody. You want to keep your job, you do what the boss tells you to do. If you don't want to keep it, you know, don't. But there's always a profit to listening to what God has to say, whether it's in his written word or whether God reveals something to you. Our Father in his word, he's given us his word and desires us that we know who we are and that we know what we've been given. He wants us to know the things that are freely given to us by his grace. Then he desires that we speak those things. He's given to every single believer 9 wonderful ways with which to manifest and operate his power. Without the manifestations being manifested, we remain the same as every religion, every church, everything else. It's not necessarily the great love we have. It's not necessarily the great mind of the Bible we have. We have power, people. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, Ecclesiastes. And in verse 13, God's word says, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. That's quite a statement. Fear God, which means respect him, you know, honor him, revere him, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of mankind. Paul said, I would y'all speak with tongues. It's a commandment of the Lord. God wants every believer to speak in tongues. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his word, whatever his word says. And again, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 lists all the nine manifestations. Tongues of interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. And they're all for a profit. They all benefit. They're all a blessing. And they're all to give. They're to give. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. God wants us to live a more than abundant life. And in order for us to live a more than abundant life, it's imperative that we operate the power of God in our lives. It's imperative because this world is not pleasant. This world is negative. This world is hurtful. It's harmful. We need God's word. We need to operate the manifestations. And chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the what? Power of his might, or his mighty power. Put on. You put it on. You know what you did this morning? You put on. You put on your clothes. You put on your clothes. Reminds me of a Ray Charles song. Put on your red dress, baby. Sorry. I'm back. But you put your clothes on. All right? Put on the whole armor of God. And if you're going to put on the whole armor, you got to operate the spirit. You got to speak in tongues much. You got to operate. Why? Here's the reason. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and having stand against the wiles of the devil, the methodologies of the adversary. It takes manifesting God's power to do so. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, although so many times it looks like that. Don't buy into it. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what?
Stand
therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and it goes on. This is God's will for us, the church, the believers, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and to encourage one another, not to yell at each other, but to love each other, to help each other, assist one another. And the greatest way we can do it is by the word and by operating manifestations. And it's simple. He allows me to do it once in a while. Matthew, we'll close here. Matthew, I don't want to close. I've been really quiet until just this last hour. I've been saving it. I really have. But now it's over? No. Verse 29 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, you do... Again. What chapter, Christina, do you think? What'd you say?
22.
No, that's wrong. It's not wrong, it's right. Chapter 22. Verse 29, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing, number one, the scriptures, and not knowing, number two, what?
Power.
And that's the difference between us and other denominations. Let's remember, everything that we have in our lives is because of the grace of God. It's by grace that we're saved. It's by grace that we live. It's by grace that we'll be gathered. It's by grace. God's friendly willingness, his inclining toward us. And It's by this grace that we live. And we can manifest the power just like they did in the book of Acts. Why not? Here at this camp. Ever since Pentecost, all 9 manifestations have been made available. So let's take God at his word, okay?